Would you turn to Romans 8, verse 32. Now this is not the text but it fits with it. Our text is found in Isaiah 53 and verse 10. We'll get there next. Then back to Matthew 26 and return one last time to Isaiah 53 verse 10. Would you bow with me as we continue our service to our Father's glory? Our Father, for thy great name's sake, for the lifting up, the exaltation of our Lord and Savior, we ask you to continue giving the Spirit an unction to declare thy word, a clear mind, a sound utterance. For Lord, you deserve the best that I have. But if anything returns back to thee in the way of worship or thanksgiving or love, it originated in thee. So work in our hearts. Lord, if you would, bring all of us into the message. And give help in hearing, in perceiving, to the glory of thy great name. Just come, Lord, and be in our midst, and we'll leave as a rejoicing people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Isaiah 53, you still keep your place here. We're going there second. And I want to use the word that is mostly used and speak to you on he was crushed by his father. And some topics, and this one has been difficult for me throughout the week. And then asking you to consider for a few minutes, and then for an hour, and if we linger here, that God might do something in our hearts this very day. As John read that, he that spared not gave him into the hands of another, spared not his own son, but delivered him up. For us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now I have two things that I want to repeat to you that I've told you before. I think the first one I have, if I haven't. All right. So I've not lost my mind yet and going back to repeating things. But the second church where I was, there was a widow lady, probably in her late 60s, early 70s, a sweet, sweet lady. Always there, very kind, pleasant. And her son went missing. And after a few days search, they found his car parked in the woods. The Opelika police did. And he had run the exhaust inside his car, and he died there of carbon monoxide poisoning. Because they were so late in finding him, they could not open the coffin. And I was with an elderly pastor, and the funeral director was past middle age, I know that. But when we got to the grave, the funeral director was standing beside us, and he was weeping. And the older preacher said to him, and this is why, while the family's getting there, usually one that deals in death so frequently becomes hardened to it. And it is good to see that you have not. And so, folks, we have become so familiar with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus that our hearts are little affected. And this I did tell you years ago, and it was before we ever got in this building. I do not remember the preacher or the evangelist that told it. But there was an aged man still looking after his sheep there in the eastern countries. And there was one stormy night, heavy rains, lightning, strong wind. And he and his dog had got in all the sheep but 10. And he said, old Shep, that had been with him years, his dog sent him to find those sheep. He came back and he had 6 the first time. And he went again and he came back with 3. And the old shepherd let him rest there, lie there at his feet and get warm. And then he said, Shep, we've still got one that's missing. And old Shep gets up and he heads back out into that stormy night. And after a good while, he comes back and he's got that last little lamb. And the shepherd lets him in the house again by the warm fire, and they lay down. And the man looked at him in about 10 minutes, put his hand on his body, and it was already turning cold. Old Shep died that night, getting in all the sheep. And the preacher that told it said, when I got through, there was not a dry eye in the congregation. And then I went immediately to the cross of the Lord Jesus and to his death. And within just a few minutes, the whole crowd was sober again, unaffected. They were familiar with the story. Never heard that of Shep, but they've heard that of Christ. And a dog dying broke their heart, but not Christ. It's been hard, as I told you, this week. Linger with some passages, linger there enough till I found I had a broken heart and a time or two tears running down my cheeks. Well, I can only pray and have for you that you might have a similar experience in hearing. And then that would be an exceptional day for us. If the truth of the Word of God reached your heart, and it melted. If it doesn't, that you might be honest enough to ask yourself, how'd I get here? Where the sufferings of my Savior does not affect me anymore. What happened? I could name a few things, but I still might miss yours, so it's something that you've got to look at. What happened to me? That the death of the Lord Jesus and all the torment lay upon that suffering man, suffering soul. What happened? I never want to lose or ever get an unresponsive heart to the central point of the gospel. So this morning, as we travel again to Gethsemane, Pilate's Hall, Calvary, last days and the last hours of the Lord Jesus and of the Father and his actions toward him, greater love could never be known than seen in the Lord Jesus or in his Father. In the heart of Christ, it was for his bride. I hope you're part of it. And in the heart of his Father, it was not for his suffering son, but it was for the bride of his son. And the Father was willing to deliver, give into the hands of another, the Lord Jesus, and he turned his back on his son, only begotten son, that he might turn his face towards you. He can't look on sin, and the only way he'll ever look at you is if you are in his son. Throughout his 33 years of his walk life here, he pleased the Father. Everything he did, every place he went, every word he said, all was pleasing to his Father. What God the Father wanted him to do, that he did. Where he wanted him to go, there he went. And because this was his only son, begotten son, the Father owned him at his birth, sent angels there prior to his birth to the father of the forerunner of Christ, the old man and his wife passed years to have children. But God sent a messenger to him. And the angels in glory anxiously awaited his arrival upon earth. And immediately could not contain that was in their heart And they go out and they tell those shepherds he's born in the city of David, the king is born. And then when he stepped into those waters to be baptized, his father looked again, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. It already sent word to the little virgin lady down there and Zacharias. And Simeon and Anna had word from God that they would not see death until they had seen the Lord's Christ. And when Mary and Joseph took him into the temple, when he was yet an infant, Simeon took him up and he said, now let thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Pleasing the Father at all times, in all ways. He knew no sin. And yet God the Father delivered him up. You heard it in devotion. I read it to you again. Did not spare his own son, turned his own back to him and delivered him up, a righteous son. Not one wrong step, not one idle word, never a dishonoring thought would linger in his mind. And yet you get to me in many times, every step I took was wrong. Every word that I've spoken, well, not every word, but many words that I've spoken, they were not honoring to my Lord. Every thought that I should have left alone, but I didn't. I pulled it down. I looked at it. I searched it. Broke it open. And before I knew it, I was a million miles from God just by entertaining one thought. Not our Lord. That I should have done, I did not. And many times that I did, well, let's look at it this way. What I should not have done, I did. And many times what I did, I should not have done. Too much devotion to the old man that you're looking at. Looking back, it seems now far more to him than was my devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his body, if I shall be in the presence of God eternally, in his body, the Lord Jesus took every sin of mine, every sin. And he paid it in its fullness. Not one that will condemn at the end of the journey and stand before God. There will not be one sin to condemn. That's because God made his only begotten Son to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He ought to send us to hell and not his son. And don't you sit here in some proud manner of thinking, well, he didn't send him to hell. He didn't do that. How do you think you would be delivered from hell? if he didn't go there for you? How? And you know what, folks? If the gospel once again came forth in power, and we got away from this damnable soul-winning evangelistic system, and folk once again found out Jesus had to do the saving, then we'd come time and time and time again to Calvary. But you see, because we let him, then it was part of us. So we can come in here with some kind of proud thinking about what we did, that we are Christian. You didn't do anything. You didn't let him. You didn't choose him. You were dead. Dead in trespasses and in sin. Now would you turn with me to our text in Isaiah 53. If we found out that he did all the saving, then it'd change our attitude towards him and our carelessness towards him. I want you to see what the Father did. And it's hard to contemplate. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Just the first phrase there for the time being. It pleased the Lord to bruise. I said that the title today was that his father crushed him. The word crushed is used more times in the Old Testament Hebrew, being the same as bruised, it is used more times. But here, they use the word bruise. God, his father, was pleased to crush him. You know anything about that God? Or you know anything about the love of that one that was willing to pay your hell, forgive all your debts? Now, folks, you can't twist this around to make it say anything other than the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased or delighted to crush his son. And to put him to grief. That is, to be diseased, weak, grievously sore. A lot of folk will not like the word crushed. But what do you think the Father did to him? You think that he put a few stripes on his back? And you think that from his forehead that there were a few little droplets of blood trickling down his face. You think that's what God the Father did? For the sheep that will be with him? That all that it cost him to suffer my hell? And years if you are a child? Is it? Did God do no more to him than that? Now keep your place here. We're coming back. And turn with me to Matthew 26. And we will begin with verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." The disciples, not knowing the significance of what he just said, or the eternal weight, yet Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was talking about. "I am that bread which came down from heaven." Jesus Christ took the bread and he broke it. Same thing that his Father did to him. He took that bread of heaven. And he crushed his Son's body. "Take, eat," he said. "This is my body." You know how bread's made, don't you? After it comes up in the field and be it the grains of wheat are matured, or the corn on the stalks matured so that you can take it down. You gather it in, you take it someplace, and you have it crushed. And you bring it home, and you put it in the oven. Christ being God's bread for his children. 33 years of age. Everything about him now, and everything that he needed to do, he had done. And one or two things that he likes in doing, he will do that on the cross. Crushed by his Father. He knew what he was doing when he took bread and broke it. And he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham was going up that mountain with that son with the wood on his back. Abraham with the knife and the fire, with every intention that he will put that boy to death and he will offer him unto God as a burnt sacrifice. And the son said, "Where's the lamb, Father?" And Abraham said, "Son, my Lord will provide himself a lamb." And he had bound that boy, laid him on the wood, getting ready, raised his hand with a knife in it to take his life. And the angel stayed his hand, said, "Now I know that you will obey God." And Abraham looked, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. And he took that ram, and he cut the cords that his son had been bound with. And he lifted him up off that pile of wood. But there was no caught ram. Abraham could walk down that hill that day rejoicing because God had provided for himself a lamb. God the Father was pleased to bruise the Son. He knew my Father can't set me free when he binds me to that altar. How could such a scene transpire in that upper chamber is where he is right now? In a few minutes after the bread, he took the cup and said, "This you drink ye all of it. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And the Lord Jesus and the disciples went out to a place called the Mount of Olives. Olivet. And they get to Gethsemane. Jesus has left 8 of the disciples. He's taken Peter, James, and John. They're going further on, and then he leaves those 3 disciples and goes about a stone cast away, for man can never enter in. Never enter in to the sufferings of the Son of God. How could such a scene transpire in that upper chamber there, that last supper in Gethsemane, in the judgment hall at Calvary? And the very life of the Lord Jesus was crushed out of him. Not by wicked hands, folks. Our hands. The value of anything is dependent upon the worth of it to the person purchasing it. And the eternal God was purchasing a fallen, sinful, rebellious, self-loving people. And he saw you and what you were and what you had done and what you would do. And paid the ultimate price for you to have eternal life. Down at the bottom of the mountain, there's that old olive press. And the price that the Lord Jesus paid for all of us was like those old men that gathered the olives. They take them down off that mountain down there to the olive press. And the death of the Son of God was as great as an olive having all the juice pressed out of it. Think at your value. Your value to God the Father. He put his Son in the place you ought to have been. And he crushed his Son as in Gethsemane. Pressing all that was in Christ out of him. Until that last drop of blood fell to the ground that had sustained life. He'd lost most of it before he got to the cross. But before he died of a natural reason, he gave up his life. No man taketh my life from me, I lay it down. Lord Jesus, what about your father? Oh, I laid it down. Yeah, he brought the press. It crushed me. But can you get a picture of that value of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you, children? How much God gave for you. And yet we go on and live for me, self. I am the big I in my house. Oh, I believe Jesus died for me. So I'm a Christian. At least that's what folk told me I was. I just want you in your heart to get a picture of your value to God the Father. And of God the Son. Folk, there wasn't a decent thing about you. You might have been moral. There wasn't an ounce of purity in you. And see the value of the church to the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 89:19, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. One taken from among man to represent man. God said he's mighty. He's fully capable. In every way to complete the work assigned to him. And I can love a people that's in love with themselves, but one day they'll find out about my love for them. They'll find out what I did to my son that they might have life. And they'll devote themselves to me. Oh, if we had a people, walls pressing out with the people that knew what Jesus did for them and what God the Father did. Every way God laid the weight and the work on his son's shoulders. And then John 17:4, he can say, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Verse 9, I pray not for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me. In verse 12, John 17, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. Had to be a man, because a man, only a man could represent man before God. And God found one. You could say the strength that he had to complete the task was just enough. Just enough. Now in verse 37 here in the chapter, Matthew 26:37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You that the children have already gone from home, you remember they'd come in at times after playing, I'm starving to death. And you knew they weren't starving to death. But when our Lord Jesus said, exceeding sorrowful even unto death, that's exactly what he meant. That's how low he got. And he said, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he goes on a little farther and he falls on his face. Back to the earth from which God took man, his face is buried in it. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I will not argue with anybody that would say he's praying not to go to the cross. I wouldn't argue with them 1 minute. I don't know. Very well could have been. But I look at it in a different light. Sorrowful even unto death. That's how close he was. And an angel, Luke 22, an angel comes down and strengthens him, enabling him to be delivered from what he felt in his body, death. And the good friend that I told you about in West Virginia, she told her daughter as she got her to the hospital, I'm dying. And she was buried yesterday. And that's how close Jesus is there in that garden. Go sometime and read Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers with strong crying, supplication. Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. I want to think that he was actually that close to death there. Well, you've got to look at it in the light that he knew he'd get to Calvary. Yeah, you've got to look at it in the light as he was 100% man. Everything he did as man. He's not dying as God right now. He's dying as the man, son of God. When he had offered up prayers with supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And Paul said, and he was heard. Now go back with me. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm running down any that believe that he was talking about Calvary. I'm not going to take issue with it. Isaiah 53, after the Last Supper, and setting before those disciples what a broken piece of bread meant. And wine in the glass, all of them, each drinking all. He knew what that meant. And it goes from there to Mount of Olives to Gethsemane, meaning in all prayers. Takes Peter, James, and John, leaves them, goes a stone cast away, and falls on his face. Where God got you from, dirt. Revelation 19:15 says he treadeth the winepress of the wrath of God alone. I think fierceness is in that verse. The winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And there long he entered into a place, having been made sin, bearing the guilt of every individual that be with him in glory, paying their eternal debt. If they will be with him on and on and on throughout an endless age, then in his dying he paid the price for you to live forever in his presence. One day this man, this Savior, he's going to be known again in his church. Don't know if I'll be around to see it. I know very well it could be you if you press on and seek after. Let nothing keep you from truth and standing firm on this book. One day, the church is going to come back and see at Calvary and Gethsemane the oil press. It pleased the Lord to crush him. As all the olives fall into the press and are pushed through those grinding wheels, everything about life in them is squeezed out. Man derives a lot of benefits from olive oil. Israel kept the lamps burning by olive oil. You can anoint your face with olive oil. So it's beneficial for your health. But the olives on a tree do you no good. Or the olives gathered and put in a basket do you no good. Nothing in the olive, on a tree in the basket, for man to derive benefit from that olive, it had to be crushed. And everything pertaining to life here and throughout eternity, it flowed from the crushed body of the Lamb of God. And here the Lord was pleased. You know what that means? He took delight. If that won't make you or create in you a desire greater than you've ever had before to serve him fully and completely, God the Father was pleased. He took delight in crushing his son. He's going to raise that son up. Those disciples are going to see him. And you're going to see him in glory. He'll be all of God that you'll ever see. No wonder they fall down at his feet and cast their crowns. Cannot we do that? I would to God that he had so worked in some of your hearts here that you couldn't wait to get to the back door to tell somebody else what God's done for you. And the weather won't be an issue, and politics won't be an issue, and tomorrow won't be an issue. But just what Christ has done for you and what his Father has done for you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And you got here in Isaiah 53, God was pleased to do that. If he hadn't been, it would not have happened. But God didn't put his son just to death. But the cruelest and most wicked and painful death that had ever been developed. And when Jesus left that upper room, headed there for the garden, there Jesus of Nazareth was going to take on Satan himself, the powers of darkness. There between Satan and God in man would be fought. There the God of this world, children, young folk, don't let things of this old world be your life. There, the Lord Jesus took on Satan. But there never would have been a match there had not Jesus yielded himself to his Father's wish and desire. But God knew he is putting the church in good hands. If you can't forgive my bluntness here, but I speak it to my own self as well. If you can't walk out of here with some devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, then forgive me, you ought to go on to hell. Seeing you bypass what he did, what God did. There God the Father awakened the sword against his fellow, against the shepherd of the sheep. Zechariah 13. And power had to be given to that old wicked, rebellious, religious nation of Jews. To do that to him. Overcome with sorrow so much in that garden as to cause his death. As was said of him in Psalm 22, I'm poured out like water, my heart is like wax. Was he in such physical pain that his entire body was broken? His entire body was broken. And he was in great pain. But that pain had nothing to do with the anguish of his soul. I'm going to leave that alone. Maybe next week. And now because Eve was tempted that she might know good and evil, the Son of God now feels all evils of every soul that'll be in glory with him. And sin falling on that pure soul, because God so loved the people, he left his Son in the greatest anguish there could be. And he nailed him to a cross. Now you can go and live for self if you want to. But if you're a Christian, you're gonna live for him. God have mercy on all of us.